Joshua 11, verses 1 through 15. How should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
Very carefully. Why should we listen to these words so carefully?
Because they're God's.
Because they're God's words. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Medan, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Achzaph, and to the kings who were from the north in the mountains, in the plain south of Kinneroth, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the mountains, the Hivite below Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horse and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. But Yahweh said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them. For tomorrow, about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them. And Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to Greater Sidon, to the brook Misrapheth, and to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as Yahweh had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with the sword, for Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings, Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of Yahweh had commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them, except Hazor only, which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock, the children of Israel took as booty for themselves. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. As Yahweh had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. So far, the reading of God's word. Okay, so Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things. What things had he heard about? What's been going on?
Joshua's been, well, the children of Israel and Joshua have been taking the promised land.
Okay, so Joshua and Israel have been taking the promised land. They have dispossessed... for themselves, dispossessed the previous occupiers of the land east of the Jordan and the southern half of the land west of the Jordan. This is now in the northern half of the land west of the Jordan. The Valley of Mizpah is way up, kind of by Sidon, all the way down. Dor is... on the Mediterranean. Sorry, I don't have my laser pointer for the map. But, okay, so if you look at, what's it doing? All right, so Dor is just about there. Any idea what's wrong with that? Anyway, so it's basically the top half of that map there. Is all these regions. All these regions and all these kings. And what did they do to the people of those cities?
Killed them and burned the cities with fire.
Except for the mountain cities.
Yeah.
There was only one mountain city that was burnt with fire. Which one was that?
Hazor.
Yes.
Yeah, Hazor, Hazor. Okay. So they killed the people. How many of the people?
All.
What ages?
All.
That's right. Now, some people hear that and they're like, oh, whoa, that's awful, that's terrible. No loving God would ever command that that be done. And they either refuse to believe that the Bible is the word of God, or they just flat out refuse to believe in the God of the Bible. Or they'll say, well, the New Testament God isn't mean like the Old Testament God. What do you say to that one?
They're the same.
They are the same.
Jesus.
And if they think the Old Testament God is mean, what are some things from the New Testament that they're going to be shocked by?
Jesus said he came to bring a sword.
Jesus came said that he came not to bring peace, but a sword. Okay. And not only that, but what hasn't happened yet that the New Testament tells us about? The judgment, and what's going to happen at the judgment?
Well,
okay, those who are in Christ will rise up unto glory. Those who are not in Christ are going to rise. Is it right to be cast into hell? Is that worse? Is that harder and more shocking, or softer and less shocking than what Joshua did to the cities of the northern half of the Promised Land?
Harder.
Harder and more shocking. Okay? The Lord God is not softer and gentler in the New Testament. And what the New Testament tells us about is not easier and less shocking than what the Old Testament tells us about. So that's the first way to answer this. Second way to answer when somebody is opposed to these things is, of course you think it's terrible. You don't think sin is terrible. All these places were full of all kinds of false worship and murder and all kinds of perversion and theft and lying. They're full of sin. And that sin, of course, is much greater. And that's why on the last day they'll rise again to be cast into hell, body and soul. Their sin is much greater than anything, pain or suffering that Joshua would be able to inflict. Now, the other thing, and something that our passage emphasizes multiple times, is that it wasn't just Joshua doing this, and it wasn't just Joshua doing it at the instruction of the Lord. What does verse 6 say? Who is going to cause them to be slain before Israel? That's right, Sophia. God. He says, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. Verse 8 says, Yahweh delivered them into the hand of Israel. And we also have the word of the Lord, right? So verse 9. Verse 6. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. He commands it. Verse 9. So Joshua did to them as Yahweh had told him. Verse 12. Talking about striking the cities with the edge of the sword, killing all the people. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, servant of Yahweh, had commanded. Verse 14 into verse 15. They left none breathing as Yahweh had commanded. And then end of verse 15. He left nothing undone of all that Yahweh had commanded. So, the emphasis in the passage is that all of this was done according to the word of Yahweh, and that all of this was done as an act or the work of Yahweh. Yes, Carissa.
What does hamstring mean?
To hamstring the horses means to cut the back leg muscles so that they can't run and jump and be useful in warfare anymore. Yes, Victoria.
I have a picture in my bag.
Do you have a picture of the Northern Kingdom? Right, that is the northern half of the kingdom. It's like a Minecraft cutout of the top half of the Promised Land. Yes, okay, that's the picture in your Bible is to help you kind of visualize where these cities were. Because it's not like he's talking about Boston, Philadelphia, New York, Nashville, Chicago, and Detroit. Okay, which, well, probably most Americans can't visualize those on a map anymore either. But he's talking about cities from a faraway place a long time ago. And it's helpful to have a map in front of you so you can get an idea of where all these things were. So the Lord was doing to these cities less than they deserved. Okay, it was according to his word and by his work. And he was doing to them less than they deserve, right? Because they still have to rise again from the dead to receive the fullness of what they deserve. They hadn't got what they deserve yet. Okay, so if someone reads the Old Testament, they're like, oh, that's shocking. Well, you haven't seen anything yet. You think you're shocked now. Wait until worse is happening, and wait until you're not just reading about it in the Bible, but it's actually happening before your eyes. It's one of the things that we know. Remember, Romans chapter 1 says, we know in our hearts, we know that those who break God's law deserve death, but they not only do them, they approve of those who do. We know that we deserve hell for what we do, but we convince ourselves otherwise, and therefore we're shocked by even much less than hell. One of the things that we should pray for as we read God's word and we hear it preached is that the Holy Spirit would soften our hearts so that we'd be able to accept, so that we'd be able to face the truth of what the scriptures tell us about how bad our sin is and what we deserve, so that we wouldn't be shocked that these people are getting expelled from the land and that these people are getting executed. What is shocking, really, in the first half of Joshua 11? Not the people who are being expelled from the land, but the people who are being given the land. What kind of people were Israel? Were they super godly, never complaining, thankful to God, worshiping only in the way that he said? No, every one of those things you were shaking your head and almost laughing at me for. Because that's exactly the opposite of what they were like. And yet the Lord was giving them the land and was delivering them, saving them from their enemies instead of executing them. Why would the Lord do something like that? What do we call that when God does that? What, Beatrice?
Grace.
God's blessing for those who deserve only curse. God's strength for those who have only weakness. That's exactly right. Carissa should get the grace answer right, because that's what her name means. All right, Karis? Yes. Okay. So God is being gracious. Grace is what's amazing. You know, sing Amazing Wrath, How Fierce the Sound. I mean, it is amazing wrath, but not surprising wrath. Grace is amazing, not just because of its greatness, because it is surprising. It's the opposite of what we deserve. And how can God show sinners grace? Can he just decide he's going to stop being righteous and just and holy for a while? No. Are we going to hell, Ezekiel? Are you going to hell for your sin? Why not?
Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
That's right. God himself came and became a man, Jesus, and he died on the cross for our sins. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have not given us according to what we deserve. We thank you that you tell us about what we deserve in your word. We do pray for the help of your Holy Spirit, so that when we hear about sinners receiving much less even than what they deserve, we would not be shocked and offended. Help us, Lord, not to feel like you owe us anything, but instead to feel how we owe you everything and how we have sinned against you and fallen short, so that we would be amazed by how gracious you are. We would be amazed that you came as Jesus. You died for our sins. We pray that you would help us to remember that you fight for your people, that you give us your word. Help us to be careful to follow your word, to understand it well and rightly. We ask that your spirit would be with us and in us. Help us now in the rest of this day to live as those who belong to you, who have been saved by you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.